I have walked across frozen over lakes in remote Canadian forests and surveyed landscapes of unbroken snow in Arctic conditions in Scandinavia. But ask me for my coldest winter memory, and one place and date spring to mind. Finglas Park, 7:15 a.m. on December 27, 1978. There are no clouds in an ink-black sky. The rest of the world sleeps amid sparkling frost that turns the pavement into a treacherous, virtually impassable skating rink. I am a 19-year-old factory hand, pulling my coat tight, trying to keep my balance by gripping onto walls. A car slides past Elm McKee Road, the driver's scared face peering out from a small circle of windscreen which he has hacked clear of ice. I turn the corner onto Jamestown Road and become part of a procession of factory workers, walking in silence because it is too cold and early to shout greetings as we enter the Unidur Industrial Complex gates to return to work the morning after St. Stephen's Day. At 7:28, I punch in my time card at the Alderkin welding rod factory. Normally, there are clamouring vices and a residue of warmth as the night shift winds down the machines for the morning shift to take over in that factory which operated three shifts around the clock. But that morning, we are the first shift back after the brief Christmas break. An eerie silence haunts the factory. It seems colder in there than on the frozen streets outside, a Siberian chill cutting into our bones as we blow on our fingers and wait for the hooter. I remember little about the rest of that shift when the usual racket of machinery resumes, men swapping jokes while deftly lifting trays of welding rods from the conveyor belt. I just remember the clarity of dawn when it finally lightened the grimy skylights. In the fairy tale of Sleeping Beauty, I am not sure what the enchanted castle looked like which lay undisturbed, but I suspect it would bear an uncanny resemblance to many offices and public buildings across Ireland that now go into hibernation between Christmas and New Year's Day. Not every worker enjoys generous Christmas breaks. Just ask any supermarket cashier or department store worker summoned back for the Christmas sales. But many workplaces now enter a week-long midwinter limbo when, as Lord Byron wrote, the heart must pause to breathe and love itself have rest. Back in 1978, it was only 4 years since New Year's Day became a statutory bank holiday. I was the youngest worker among men twice and three times my age who all looked out for me in different ways, but who took no prisoners and suffered no fools. Early in my time, there was a work to rule. Then industrial peace broke out, and I discovered that, while I had previously found a work hard, my crew had been taking life easy. Soon they began to work against the clock for bonus payments at a speed that left me shattered. That year, my crew also worked the night shift before the Christmas Eve shutdown. I remember whiskey smuggled in, and workers who'd been drinking in pubs before our shift breaking into tomfoolery to inject Christmas cheer into a long shift. But nobody tried to be cheerful on our first morning back after Christmas. When we emerged, the onset of dusk guaranteed another sharp frost. But we weren't the only people working that week. When I got home, the postman had delivered a letter delayed in the Christmas rush. It told me my application for a job as a library assistant was successful. In the new year, I would leave behind those factory gates. I broke this news to my workmates later that week when we gathered in a local pub for a send-off party for an English factory hand returning to Birmingham. It was a wild, hilarious night, the first time I felt fully accepted among the factory hands. In early January, I gave in my notice. Every man there wished me well. Someone suggested we all meet up in that same pub the next Saturday for my send-off. On the Saturday, I arrived early. 2 hours passed before I realized nobody was coming. I was just a kid who never truly earned my spurs in that factory. Those grown men meant no unkindness, but they had already forgotten about me, immersed in their own worlds. It was the last valuable lesson in the only university I ever attended. But I remember them and my 19-year-old self whenever I watched the thousands of workers with no long Christmas break return to work through otherwise empty streets, the wage earners for whom there is no respite in the days between Christmas and New Year.